Well, now on Books and Arts Daily to the Aussie artist Mortimer Mempus. You've never heard of him? Well, neither had I, but in the 1880s and 90s, he was the toast of London. And art lovers were thrilled by the artworks that he'd made on his travels to all sorts of places, which were then considered exotic. Japan and India, Burma, Morocco, Cairo, Mexico, Venice, he went everywhere. And he also built and decorated a Japanese-style house in London's Cadogan Garden, and became quite famous. It was a venue for artistic soirees, and it was the place for London's upper crust to have their portraits painted. The World of Mortimer Mempus is the first retrospective exhibition of this forgotten artist's work. It features paintings, etchings and ceramics, and it's on at the Art Gallery of South Australia. Fiona Krall is speaking with Senior Curator of Prints, Drawings and Photographs, Julie Robinson, at the gallery.
This exhibition is celebrating the art and life of a little-known South Australian artist who made a great success in London and became internationally successful. And the sort of work that he created to make him successful was travel art on one hand, so travel paintings and portraiture. And that's what you'll see throughout the exhibition. At the same time, working within these themes, he worked with paintings and prints and even ceramics. So he's a very versatile artist.
So he was from Adelaide. I love that, the unknown boy made good. And he left here in 1875 for London, and he became a pupil of James Whistler. And I noticed that in Mempus's obituary from the Sydney Morning Herald in 1938, it says, Whistler was a great conversationalist and Mempus a born raconteur. So their long talks together would have been well worth listening to, I bet. Great company. So what influence then did Whistler have on Mempus artistically?
I think Mempus was so fortunate when he met Whistler. I mean, he met him in 1880 and they actually were friends, good friends, for 7 or 8 years. And when he met him, Mempus said he knew instantly that he was in the presence of a great master and would do anything for him. He was willing to learn everything from Whistler. And Whistler influenced him artistically, but also socially, and the contacts that Mempus made through Whistler, because Whistler swept him into this bohemian, avant-garde part of London society, and that made such an impact on Mempus's career. But artistically, I mean, Mempus learned about composition and the way to design his paintings, but also Whistler was a great printmaker. It was an overall great grounding for Mempus.
He did spend a lot of time in London and became the toast of London. But before we get to that part of his life, I mean, he was a massive traveller, wasn't he? Like, quite radical, really, for the times, like the Lonely Planet guy of his time, wasn't he, before the Lonely Planet? He was out there travelling in all sorts of countries, and he also was a war artist during the Boer War. What was it that fascinated him so much about countries like Japan or Asia in particular that he went to and then also painted from?
I mean, his travels started by going to Japan, and that was quite a radical departure at that time. I think what it is for Mempus, that Mempus was a people person and he was interested in the lives of people in these countries. What they did in their everyday life, so you'll find paintings that depict people on the streets, just going about everyday activities. But the interesting thing was those everyday activities were so different to life in Britain, and Mempus really picked up on that, that difference, that fascinated him.
That taps in, I guess, to something I read about his motto when it comes to art, and that is, you know, art as part of everyday life. I'm interested to hear a bit more about that philosophy.
That became so important, that philosophy, for his art. Interestingly, it's almost the opposite to what Whistler was teaching. Whistler was about art being a very elite art form. Mempus was about art for everybody and being more popular in his approach to art. And that is something that really was clarified for him when he visited Japan, because it was the living art in Japan. Everything about Japanese life was artistic. And he came back to London and he was determined to create works that were of a scale, a small scale, so that they could be affordable and bought by everyday people for their domestic environments, because he believed so much that people should have art in their homes and enjoy this beautiful aesthetic environment in their homes. And then, interestingly, when Mempus built his own house, it was, you know, the house being the work of art inside.
Let's take a walk into one of the four rooms here at the Art Gallery of South Australia. The first thing I see when I come in here, of course, is a massive vase of beautiful white blossom. So I'm transported immediately, aren't I, to Japan. Take us through perhaps the hanging style. It's really dense, isn't it? Dense sort of salon style of hanging the pictures here. And as you say, small prints. Some of the frames, they're just like really decadent, big, gold, bold frames around the works.
Yes, you're so right. This room, in fact, tries to recreate exactly what it would have been like to visit Mempes's 1888 exhibition in London of Japanese works. This was his first solo exhibition in London, and it was a huge hit, a huge success. At that time, it sold out in a matter of days. And so here we've recreated, because we know from newspaper articles, just exactly how he presented that room. So you have this pinkish-purplish colour on the walls, which people all commented on, and that hang is like this asymmetrical hang where the works cascade down the wall. This is something that he picked up but extended from his time with Whistler. So Whistler introduced him to the whole aesthetic of an exhibition. Mempes took it a step further in this exhibition. And the other thing you'll notice, as you said, are the beautiful gold frames, which Mempes had specifically designed. They were his own design for these paintings, and they're integral to the works. And they were commented on and really highly regarded at the time. There was something that he designed in Japan and had never been seen in London before. They're like a window that you look through to see the work of art. You really get that impact. These Japanese paintings in particular pick up on that interest in people, but also in the colour and design of Japan. And if you remember that part of the reason he went to Japan, apart from the whole growing interest in Britain for everything Japanese, Mempes went to see the Mikado performed. It was first performed in 1885 and it had a 2-year run. And he commented it was the colour and the design of that that really was the final tipping point in sending him to Japan. And in his paintings, you see that, where he delights in the coloured banners or the coloured lanterns on the streets or the orange umbrella that sort of hovers above two young women there in their kimonos. So as much as images of everyday life, they're images about colour and pattern.
Let's take a walk through the gallery into another space where you've recreated his studio in London. So we'll leave Japan now and walk over into London. Take us through the look of his studio, yellow wall here.
Yes, well, here we are. We're transported now to the yellow room of the exhibition, and this is recreating yet another Mempesian experience, I guess. After 10 years of travel, he decided that he was exhausted, because when he travelled, he was away for up to nine months a year. And he decided to be studio-based in London and to be a portraitist. So to do that, he built a house. And the whole interior of the house was done in a Japanese aesthetic. So he actually went to Japan on a second visit and employed artisans to create all the fittings for this Japanese house. Then they were sent back to London and reconstructed by English craftsmen. So what we have here is an assemblage of Japanese objects which would give that sense of his studio. And on the walls are these beautiful portraits, which are just so exquisite. And the interesting thing is, for us, is that to think about, his studio was such a public space. He designed his studio with its yellow walls as an entertaining space. It had two little balconies where musicians could perform. So when I'm in this space and I'm surrounded by these portraits, and you'll see that there's many famous people in the portraits, I like to imagine we're at a soiree in his studio and these people are present.
It's the who's who of the London art scene, isn't it? I mean, it seems to me that he was the guy to be seen with. I mean, he was the toast of London.
Yes, I think at the time that he had this studio house and he had a big official opening of his house in 1899, he was really at the pinnacle of his career and he was a very well-known artist in London at that time. The people that he sort of associated himself with were people that we still know of today. When he was with Whistler, he was very much close friends with Oscar Wilde, and very few people know, but he was actually godfather to Oscar Wilde's son, Vivian. Such was their closeness. And He mixed with artists. He mixed with a lot of theatre people. So you have the leading actors of the day. Sir Henry Irving, there's a number of portraits of him on the wall there. And interesting for us too is that Irving worked at the Lyceum Theatre where Bram Stoker was the manager, and Irving was actually the person that Bram Stoker modelled his Dracula character on.
Brilliant, brilliant.
So, you know, and every portrait has a story. You've got Cecil Rhodes, you've got Sarah Bernhardt, and then you have duchesses and other society figures. So it's quite an insight into London society, and tells you something of Mempes's standing by the fact that all those people were not just his sitters, but they were his friends.
So he had huge pull. And of course, I can hear piano in the background, so we can't ignore that. You've obviously placed some music in this space for a particular reason.
Yes, you're right. That's a composition by Percy Grainger, and that's there because, of course, Percy Grainger did his first semi-public performance in London in Mempes's studio for a select group of people, and then just a couple of weeks later he had his first public London performance. And Mempes and Grainger had a great friendship over a number of years. I think Grainger considered Mempes like a father figure. They stayed in close contact.
He was so famous in his day, and I can't believe it, though, that before this exhibition, I hadn't really heard of him. About 3 years ago, I was at a dinner party where I met an Adelaide art gallery dealer, Peter Walker, and he was saying to me, "Have you heard of Mortimer Mempes?" And I said, "No. What, you know, am I alone here, or did I just not listen at art school?" So, you know, is he a forgotten hero of Adelaide?
He is, and the whole point of this exhibition is to bring him to a new audience and to restore his, you know, something of the appreciation that he had in his lifetime. Because what's happened, I think, is he's fallen between the cracks of Australian art history and British art history, because here he was born in Adelaide, first 20 years here, but his whole career was played out in the UK. And yet, conversely, in the UK, they always consider him an Australian artist. It doesn't matter that his whole career happened there. And I think the other thing that's happened is he's also a victim of his own success, because his exhibitions were sellouts, and when the works went to private homes everywhere, they're still waiting to be found in many, many private homes. So that's contributed to his neglect, I think.
Let's just end with a quote here, Julie. This looks like a good one. I mean, obviously, he is recognised in his lifetime for how amazing he was. Can you read us this quote here that you've had printed on the wall?
Yes, this is a quote that comes from T.P. O'Connor, who was an Irish politician at the time, and he said, "It is just as impossible for anyone to tell you all about Mempes as it is to come to the end of the man himself. He is singly many-sided. A more up-to-date man in every particular cannot be imagined. He is not only a man of today, but of tomorrow."
And an Adelaide boy.
Yes, can't we be proud? And more specifically, Port Adelaide, for all of those people from Port Adelaide. Yeah.
Doesn't that sound just delicious? You lucky, lucky people in Adelaide. The show is called The World of Mortimer Mempes. It continues until this Sunday, so you've only got a couple of days to catch that. The 7th of September, that is, at the Art Gallery of South Australia. The senior curator there that we heard is Julie Robinson. Fiona Crowell with that lovely story. It reminded me of that film about Gilbert and Sullivan writing The Mikado. Do you remember that one from 1999? Topsy Turvy? That sort of took us into that world of japanoiserie. That's what it's called.